Right. It's halfway through the chapter we're going to get to that, yes? Let's pray, can we? Lord, we come to you. And Lord, we realise that it's all about you, really, Lord. And how much we need your grace to help us to be the kind of people you want us to be, Lord. To reflect your grace, your ways, your love. And Lord, as we read about the people who were hostile and rebellious, Lord, Lord, we pray that we may not mimic them in our attitudes either, Lord, but be open to you and to your ways. You're the Lord, and you give the directions, you give the words, Lord, and it's our duty to respond to you. I pray you help us, Lord, and grant us your blessing as we come to your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, where did we get to? We got to somewhere about verse 32. Yeah?
Yes.
The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. So there's a mix of conversations going along in Jerusalem at the time, because there's two types of people there. There's the outsiders, the visitors, and the insiders, the locals. And the locals know what's going on, and the outsiders don't. And so the outsiders are wondering why Jesus is saying, why are they trying to kill me? And the insiders say, they've got it in for him, you know? The whisperings get to the authorities, and they get to decide they've got to arrest him. So they send out the temple guards. That's what's going on there. So verse 33, Jesus, the Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go? Oh, sorry, I've lost my place here already. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Right. Is that cryptic?
Yes. No.
You think that's cryptic?
Yeah.
Well, we know what he means.
Talking in riddles, yes.
Yes.
They would find it hard to understand.
But that was the standard preacher's way. You know, you hear these deep sayings.
I wasn't there.
That's all right, but yes, you were there, right. So, I'm only with you for a short time. That's fairly plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I go to the one who sent me. Well, he's made it obvious already where he's going. To the one who sent him is God. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? The one who sent him, he believes, is God. So he's going back to God. Right, that's what he means, yeah. And he says this, you will look for me, but you will not find me. Why?
Because
he disappeared. Right, that's it. We know how he's going to disappear, though. Interesting, eh?
Mm.
Yeah? And where I am, you cannot come.
But they knew him as the son of the carpenter.
Yes, that's the problem, isn't it? Yes, they've got very low-level thinking.
Do they really know where he's going?
They're thinking, yes.
Had he told them before that he was going, you know, to heaven, his father was God and that?
Well, he's told them that his father is God, of course. I don't know. I suspect he made something plain to them a little bit anyway. But anyway, where I am, you cannot come. Now, that's terrible, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Exclusive.
Yes, you cannot come because you're not right with God. As he's told them before, you don't know God. You've just no idea who God is.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'd recognise God in Jesus.
Yeah.
But as he says, they see it as a riddle and wonder what he's going about. The Jews said to one another, again, they're asking their questions, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him?
Hmm.
Yeah. So they're thinking on earth level. Yeah, that's their thing, right? Where is he going? And then they ask this, will he go to where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Yeah, because you're aware of this, that throughout the Mediterranean, well, virtually throughout the world as then known, the Jews had moved and been scattered, and they'd set up their synagogues and meeting places in all around the Mediterranean, and they were called the diaspora, the dispersed ones, yeah? And so they're thinking, well, he's not had much success here. Maybe he's going to try with them. That's the idea. Will he go to them? Right? And teach the Greeks. When it means Greeks, it means the foreigners, right? Then the Gentiles, ultimately, I suppose, as well. But yeah? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you cannot find me? And where I am, you cannot come? Well, we know. But they obviously have not got it. Right. Well, that's because it's a prophecy in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, right, okay. So, that's what's happened. They're all in a puzzle about him. On the last and greatest day of the feast. What feast is it?
Tabernacles.
Also known as booths, or the Hebrew name is Sukkot. The Feast of Sukkot. It's the... is it? Right, yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. So, tabernacles. What were they supposed to do? No. They built booths, tents. It was a harvest festival, and they built their tents, and they lived in them for a week. Yes, it was a seven-day feast.
They still do that.
They still do, yes. Oh, yes. Still do, yes. Build their too. And they have certain types of special fruit and things that they have to wave around as well. Okay? And...
Is it lemons? Those funny lemons?
Well, yeah, airtrogs they call them. But yes, they're a kind of citrus fruit, yes. Mm. But there was something else that was special at this time in the temple. Every day during the week of festivities... What they did was they went down with a big jar, a pitcher, down to the pool of Siloam, and they filled it with water, and they took it up to the temple and poured it out. Yes? The symbolism being, it's all remembering how it was in the desert, in the wilderness, right? They lived in tents in the desert, and what did they get for water in the desert? Out of the rock. So that's what the picture of it was. The water was brought up from the pool of Siloam, taken up to the temple, very processional, you know, and all very razzmatazz. And they poured it out, and that's what they did. Right? So the symbolism of the Lord providing water for them. So on the last and greatest day of the feast, so the feast is winding up to its conclusion, right? It says, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Mm. Do you get the symbolism?
Yeah.
He's really laying it on here. He's saying, you go for the water, the real stuff
is here.
Yeah, that's what he's getting at. See? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Yeah? So Jesus is quoting the Bible. Which bit of the Bible is he quoting? There isn't a verse that says that. There isn't a verse that says that. So what does Jesus mean, as the scripture has said? It's the general tenor of the scriptures. He's not quoting a single verse. He's quoting the concept of the idea of water flowing and coming from the Lord. Yeah? Right? So the scripture's giving you the idea that God's the source of water. You find that in Ezekiel, you find that in Deuteronomy with it, and Exodus.
What
no
about the woman? Oh, in Scripture.
Yeah, in Scripture. He's using Bible stories. See, Jesus is very interesting, and the rabbis are interesting in this. When they quote the Bible, they don't do it like Protestants do, you know, exact numbers and exact words and phrasing. Yeah. Jesus is very interesting how he quotes it. He'll get one bit of a verse and stick it on another one at times.
Yeah.
Because he knows what they mean, so he can glue them together to make the point even stronger. Yeah? Anyway, he's quoting scripture in general now to say that that's what's happening. And he says, living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit.
Yeah.
So, the water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You got that, yes. Right? And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Right? Yeah, so... The Holy Spirit is going to come and work in the believer so that they have this life flowing out of them, as it were, with water. Yeah? Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That's John's comment. Yeah? Right, so, the Holy Spirit is the promise that he will come when Jesus has been glorified. Yeah? When Jesus went back to heaven, he's glorified. He sends the Holy Spirit. When did that happen?
Pentecost.
On Pentecost, right. That's how it began, yeah? Right. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to happen. Right. So Jesus has made this astounding claim. The water is symbolic of him being the source of the Holy Spirit. You can't get stronger than that, can you? So, what happens is, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Yeah, so they're pretty convinced by what he's saying. Yeah? When they say the prophet, who are they referring to?
They're not
sure he's the Messiah, but there's a prophet promised in Deuteronomy chapter 18, isn't it? Where it talks about Moses saying, is God's going to raise up a prophet amongst your people, just like me? You listen to him. Yes.
Would that be John the Baptist?
No, the prophet is Jesus, the ultimate prophet, yeah. But they don't quite connect that the prophet is the Messiah. That's the only thing, you see. That's part of how they've not quite got it together. That's one thing. So one group says he's the prophet. Others said he's the Messiah, the Christ. Yeah. And still others asked, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Yes. Doesn't the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family in Bethlehem, the town where David lived? They're correct, aren't they? The Messiah comes from David's line, and he comes from David's hometown, Bethlehem. Right. But Jesus comes from Galilee.
But born in Bethlehem.
Ah. Well, they never asked the question. And why didn't they ask the question? Because they didn't want the answer. You see, when you've decided to reject somebody, you're not going to find out all the details. That's the problem, yeah? And so, that's their confusion. They think they've got it sorted out because the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, yeah? Well, how about that? Thus, the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Wow. Why? Because the ones that were keen on him would have got on to the other ones that weren't so keen. I suspect there'll be a bust up or something like that. So that's what's going on. But behind it all, of course, God's stopping them as well, because it's not his time.
Right.
So that's the division. And the interesting thing is, it's true with Jesus, when people really get to be confronted by Jesus, you can't sit on the fence. You're either for him or against him. Yeah. So then we get this rather interesting. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? So this is the police that have been sent out to arrest Jesus, and they come back without arresting him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a problem, isn't it? Yes. So the temple guards come back without arresting Jesus. Yeah. And why didn't you bring him back? You can imagine they're rather upset about that. And so they say, no one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared.
Yeah.
When they heard Jesus, what do they mean, no one ever spoke like this man? It's profound what he's saying. It's fresh. You know, some said he doesn't talk like the scribes and the Pharisees. If he had authority, yes. I'm not trying to be knocking or anything like that, but if you read some of the if you go onto some of the sort of Israeli websites and you read an article by a rabbi. There's a website called Arutz Shiva. You go on there, they have articles by rabbis and whatever. And some are quite interesting, quite good stuff, you know. But they always say, as Rabbi so-and-so says, and Rabbi somebody else says, and he says, and this says, and, you know, they're pulling them all together to try and get their ideas, you know. Jesus never did that. He didn't say, as so-and-so says, and so-and-so says. He says, I'm telling you. You know, there's just that authority about him. And so the guards, when they hear Jesus speaking, they realise a different ball game altogether. This, you know, is completely different to all what they've seen and heard before. Yeah. And so, no one ever spoke like this man does. Well, that's true, isn't it? Absolutely. So, and then the authorities, you mean he's deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Yeah, that's their excuse or answer to them. He's deceived you. He's taken you in. Yeah. That's sad, isn't it? They haven't been deceived. They got it. But the authorities, they think this Jesus is a deceiver. Right? And then they come up with this. Has any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? Yeah? No, they said. Right? What are they doing? This is what happens to Dave. They're ganging up together against him. Who is it who's ganging up together against him? The Pharisees. And what do the Pharisees represent?
The authorities.
The leaders, the authorities. The experts. Yes?
But just before Nicodemus.
Well, Nicodemus is going to answer in a moment, but yeah. The experts. Isn't that what we've had with that little lad, Alfie? Yeah. The experts, they say, so it must be right. Yeah? Well, most of the time they probably are, but, you know, to make experts God is not good. That's what the Pharisees are doing. If we don't believe it, then it's not true. That's what they say. Yeah? We don't believe in him, he's not the Messiah, so he isn't the Messiah. Well, they're wrong. They say, now look at this though, this just shows why they think the way they do. Right? Yeah? Has any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there's a curse on them. This mob that knows nothing of the law. What is their attitude to Joe Ross?
Plebs.
That's what they really are calling them, plebs. Yeah? These peasants that don't know anything, yeah? Because they've done their studies, they know it all, and as a result, they come up with this rejection of Jesus. That's a terrible state to be in. Yeah? To think you... I keep saying this, don't I? But to think you know when you really don't is a terrible state. Yeah? Because it's throwing them completely off the scent as a result of that. And so, why are they like they are when they talk about this mob that knows nothing? What's the underlying attitude?
They're better.
It's pride, isn't it? Pride. We've got our doctorates. We've got our degrees. We've got letters after our name. Yes? And so we are the experts, and all these no-goods don't know a thing or two.
Yeah, like slavery.
Yeah? Well, brothers and sisters, let me warn you, in the church, there's a danger of that in the church, that those who've been godly people for a long time, the danger is, we know, we're all right, we've got it sorted, and some little pipsqueak comes up and says, God's told me, and they say, nah. And God did. It's quite possible. Yeah? So, dear friends, we have to be aware, you know, God uses the weak things and the poor things and the nobodies to put down those who think they're somebody. Yeah. So, Pharisees, beware, yes, right.
They were also feeling threatened.
Of course they were, yes. He was doing it completely.
They've been
topped off. Yes, they had.
They don't recognise when the Messiah's actually come.
No. It's tragic, isn't it? It really is. Yeah, they are threatened. They do feel threatened. Yeah. So, right. So they say this. There's a curse on them. That's a terrible thing to say. They're basically cursing the people, aren't they? As a result of that, saying, you know, that these peasants are not in the riffraff. Yeah. What a terrible thing. When Jesus saw the crowds, what did he say? He looked at them as sheep without a shepherd, and he loved them. Yeah. Different attitude altogether. So, there they are, spouting forth. And then it says, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, who was one of their own number. Yeah, so Nicodemus is with them, and he's been listening to all this that's going on. And he asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? That's a very reasonable question, isn't it? Yeah. He's saying this, we're talking about the law, and you're saying that you know the law, and they don't. Well, you're breaking it. Yeah. By dismissing this man, Jesus, when you've not given him a fair hearing, you haven't given him a chance to defend himself, you are breaking the law that you'd say you're so knowledgeable of and so good of. Yeah. So, do you think they'd be pleased with Nicodemus? Certainly not. No. So, they say this to him, yeah, Nicodemus, who'd gone to Jesus earlier, we read about him earlier on, didn't we? He went at night. Why did he go at night?
So he didn't get seen.
Well, that's one of the things. Also, probably a busy working day, the only chance you get, but I suspect it not to be seen is one of the big motives, yeah? But what's he doing now?
He's standing up.
He's standing up, isn't he? Right. There comes a point, brothers and sisters, when you have to stand up. Yeah? And Nicodemus is, this is the moment. So he says to them, does our law condemn a man without hearing him first? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Yeah. What do they mean? Are you from Galilee too?
Are you one of his?
Yeah. One of his followers. Doesn't mean to say, are you born in Galilee? It means you're one of the Galilean crowd. That's basically what they're saying here. Because that's what he says. Are you from Galilee too? Look into it. And you'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Is that true?
No.
Yeah.
No.
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 Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
No, I did 48 fast and sing me on Jonah and the whale once, and he comes out from Galilee.
Jill's right.
Who's that?
Jonah. No. The prophet from Gath Hepher is Galilee. No. Jonah came from Galilee, and maybe some of the other minor prophets came from that area too. Yeah. So, you know, I think they're just willfully ignorant. I can't imagine they didn't know. Yeah, but a prophet does not come from Galilee. Well, a prophet did come from Galilee, and his name was Jonah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mind you, I don't suppose they're too keen on Jonah.
No, they wouldn't remember him as much as some.
They wouldn't remember him as much as some. Why? Because Jonah went to the foreigners. He talked to Gentiles, and they got saved. Right? We don't want that happening, do we? No? So, maybe that's what it's about, yeah? So, when you don't know, you make it up, it would seem to me. Yeah? Not very good. So, this is where we've got to. We have to stop on this one now, because we enter a new phase. Verse 53, then each went to his own home, right? And then we get chapter 8. And I don't know if you noticed, but in chapter 8, we have a chunk that's separated out from the rest. Yes? In some Bibles, that is. Yeah? It won't be in the King James and whatever, but in some Bibles, chapter 8 has a chunk in it that's missing in some of the manuscripts. And so they keep it separate. Yes? A very interesting piece, but we're going to have to look at that next time, if you don't mind. Because there's a lot of issues that rise out of that one. Yeah? So, back to the water and the supply. Jesus says, you know, if you believe in him, then the Holy Spirit will fill you to overflowing. Right. Question, has he? Does he?
Well, can I just ask Mel, who went on? He said that to the woman at the well of Samaria.
Yes.
He?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the water you drink will... run out, but the water I'll give will become a spring, a well within them, which is the same idea as the Holy Spirit producing the life in us. Yes.
What's the one that came as well? Can I ask? Because I was thinking of Isaiah, it'll be like a well watered garden.
Yes.
Isn't that the same idea as well?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's as the scripture says, Jesus was saying, you will be like a well watered garden.
Yeah.
It's a lovely verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that the idea of the Lord's providing life in us, yeah? Does it feel like you're a bit dry at times, you know? And pressures get to you, and things happen, you need watering. Well, I can only recommend you go to the source.
Go to the well.
Right? You've got to go to the well, because he's the only one who can supply it. Yeah? Jeremiah has the same idea. He talks to the people, he says, they've built out cisterns, you know, to collect the rainwater. They've built out cracked cisterns. Yeah, and the only thing about a crack system is it just keeps losing the water. So you can't do the cat supply. You've got to go to the Lord. Yeah, perhaps, let's pray then.
Perhaps if we can't, if the rain is coming down and we can't do the garden, we can go to the gardener. That's what it is.
Have a good soak. Yes. Well, yeah. Make sure you keep warm though as well.
That reminds me of Louise yesterday. Her son's gone to where it's hot. Banged up yesterday because she's staying down there.
Yeah.
And he phoned that and said, "Could you go and water the garden?"
You don't need to do that now. No. And I'm sorry to say the forecast for the East Anglia tomorrow is dire, isn't it?
Yeah,
wet and windy.
It's
all right, yeah.
Get your Bible out there
now. Just carry on.
Carry on, yes. Carry on regardless. Okay, let's pray, dear friends, and thank the Lord that Jesus is who he is. Lord, it's so sad to see the Pharisees, Lord, because of their pride and unwillingness to learn, Lord, lost and didn't understand the truth about you. Lord, we thank you that you made it plain enough, Lord. We know that you've spoken in riddles, as it were, in cryptic statements, Lord. But, Lord, those that are willing to find out and willing to hear, Lord, discover the truth. And so we thank you, Lord, that in that crowd there were those who began to recognize the truth about you, Lord. Lord, we know that it was all part of the plan to finish up for you to be on the cross, Lord. And Lord, the authorities were completely hostile. But Lord, we come to you and pray, Lord, your light shine in our lives. Help us, Lord, not to jump to conclusions, Lord, but Lord, to be open to your leading, to understand that, Lord, you are at work in all sorts of ways. We thank you, Lord, that you don't despise the mob, Lord, as they did, Lord, but you look on people, and Lord, you're a God who cares and you love. And I pray that may be our attitude too. Help us, Lord. Grant us grace. We know, Lord, we're all fallen creatures, Lord, but we thank you, Lord, that the promise of your working in our lives by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can have that life flowing water in us. Oh, Lord, strengthen us, refresh us and help us. Lord, help us to depend on your Holy Spirit day by day. For without you, Lord, we can do nothing and we will be able to bear no fruit. Grant us your mercies and bless us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.